Chapter 9. Davin clenched his jaw and stepped inside his humble one-room apartment. The rasp of Kurik's thin-bladed knife sliding out of its stiff leather sheath set Davin into motion. He stepped forward and spun, catching his boss flat-footed behind him, holding the knife awkwardly, eyes darting around as if looking for some explanation he could offer as to why he had a weapon at the ready. Before the wretched man could act, Davin sprang forward, grabbing Kurik by the neck with his right hand and catching his knife hand by the wrist with his left. Kurik struggled, but Davin held him firm, pinning him against the wall with a thud.
"I guess we know where all those missing clerks are, don't we, Mr. Masterson? Did they figure out your little scheme too? Did you send them into the river for a nice swim?"
Kurik's eyes bulged in the soft light coming in through the open door to the alley. His constricted breath came fast.
"Now wait a minute, Harper. I'll pay. I can make it worth your while. Just let me go and walk away."
Davin banged Kurik's wrist against the wall and he dropped the knife.
"What are in those boxes and barrels you're shipping out tomorrow? Not blankets and beans, surely?"
"The less you know, the better, Mr. Harper. Trust me. Let me fetch the money and you can be on your way."
The old rascal trembled under Davin's hands. Davin pulled him away from the wall and dumped him roughly into a worn wooden chair, the only furniture in the room besides a bed and a small table.
"I've got some rope in here somewhere."
"I don't want your filthy money, Mr. Masterson. I'll fetch the sheriff and see if we can't get to the bottom of this."
"You may not know much," Davin mused as he cast his eyes about the room, finding the rope snaking out from under the bed. "I can't imagine anyone with a real scheme entrusting secrets to this man."
To get the rope, Davin had to relax his grip on the fearful man. As soon as Davin lifted his hand, Kurik bolted out of the chair and toward the door. Davin was on him in a second, using his momentum to shove his boss into the doorframe. A sickening crack and dull thud later, Davin dragged the unconscious man back to the chair and secured him to it with the rope he had kept after he had sold his horse. He lit a candle, a pool of light falling over his prisoner. A dark protrusion decorated his forehead. Davin hoped he hadn't shoved him too hard. The man had a lot to account for. He searched Kurik's coat, finding a flask, what seemed a bushel's worth of pecan shells, and what he had hoped for, the signed travel permit with a list of the goods approved for shipping. It matched the innocuous list he had found in the book. Kurik hadn't given the permit to Dales yet. That meant that the caravan was going nowhere, at least not legally. Legality, Davin reminded himself, was no obstacle for the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company. He had to act quickly. After shoving the permit in an inner pocket of his coat and checking the knots that held Mr. Masterson to the chair, Davin snuffed the candle with his fingertips. This was his chance. He could go to the warehouse and see for himself what the crates and barrels contained, and then alert the authorities to the fraud. He locked the door behind him and headed out into the night, a cool drizzle layering the cobblestone street with a sheen in the lamplight. Despite the damp weather, a fair smattering of low folk walked the twisted ways of the crooks, faces slackened by a day of menial labour or a few pints of ale. Davin quickened his pace, wondering what would become of him. Shoving one's boss into a doorframe was as good as a letter of resignation, he joked to himself, trying in vain to dispel the fire in his veins. Since the travelling season was coming on, he hoped he could fulfil his wish and start as a caravan guard. No more cramped offices and small windows. He had to admit, however, that it felt good to be about something important, thanking the flame for leading him to a place that gave him purpose in his self-imposed exile. As he neared the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company, he pulled himself up short. Someone had lighted a lantern in the main office, and he could hear the din of men and horses on the far side of the warehouse near the loading doors.
Are they loading tonight? Leaving? The permit was for tomorrow, but if one were hauling illegal goods just after midnight, would be tomorrow enough. Walking softly, he cracked the side door to the warehouse and slipped inside, hoping Quinn and the half-ox Dales would be occupied on the opposite end. After closing the door behind him, he crouched down behind a stack of corn seed. The loading doors were open, three lanterns illuminating the loading platform and casting deep shadows behind the rest of the stacked goods.
Quinn and three of his cohorts were hauling the barrels and boxes that had arrived earlier, setting them on four of Dales's wagons, though the brute himself was nowhere to be found. Whatever the boxes and barrels contained, it was beastly heavy, the slightly inebriated warehouse hands grunting and groaning with herniating exertion as they hauled and hefted the cargo. Four wagons, instead of eight. The Boot and Wheel Caravan Company was so cheap that they didn't even bother to send wagons with fake goods to fill out the complement listed on the fraudulent permit. Such trickery was only a moderate risk. Few loads were ever inspected, and even those that were could sneak by the underpaid inspectors with a little coin from the caravan master. Having half the wagons missing from a caravan would be hard for even the most corrupt of inspectors to pass over, however. One of the reasons all the permit bureaucracy existed was to make sure goods and wagons just didn't wander off mid-trip. Before this caravan left, Mr. Masterson would have to sign a paper that eight wagon loads of clothes, blankets and beans left his warehouse at such and such a time. He wouldn't be available for that chore tonight. In a few minutes, the loading was done and Quinn and his crew leaned against the walls and drank. How could he get a look at that cargo now? Davin thought hard, gathered his courage and stepped out toward the loading doors, walking nonchalantly in the direction of Quinn and his three helpers. They regarded him with surprise and even a little fear, looking at each other with wide eyes as if waiting for someone to take the initiative and decide what to do. Davin pulled the permit from his coat. "Have you seen Dales?" he asked calmly. "Mr. Masterson told me that I needed to give this to him right now, or he'd have me locked in my office for a week." Quinn relaxed a little, though suspicion never left his brow.
"He's in the office waiting for Mr. Masterson."
"Didn't you see him?"
"No. Mr. Masterson said he wouldn't be here, so I didn't step into the office.
Is the shipment leaving early?"
Quinn glared at him and stepped forward.
"That ain't your business."
The door to the warehouse banged open behind him and Davin swallowed hard. Dales didn't open doors. He bullied them, and the heavy boot steps and steady undercurrent of swearing could only mean one thing. The beastly man was in a foul mood. Davin spun, Dales's round, tan face emerging into the lamplight.
"What are you doing here, Harper?"
he yelled, his tone indicating that Davin was mere moments away from being pounded into jelly. Davin thrust the permit out like a shield, trying not to flinch.
"Mr. Masterson told me to bring this to you immediately. He had to run home for something and said to give you this. He told me to tell you he was going to take me out for a drink later."
Quinn and his boys snickered. Perhaps they knew what Mr. Masterson's drinking invitations meant. Dales snatched the permit roughly out of Davin's hand and looked it over. He can read? Never in Davin's most generous imaginings did Dales possess any civilized refinements. Would he do mathematics and write poetry next?
"He didn't sign it!"
Dales roared. He shoved the permit inside of his shirt and nodded to Quinn, who returned a wicked grin.
"Closer up, boys,"
Quinn ordered, removing a large nicked knife he always had tucked in his boot and pointing it in Davin's direction. Quinn's three companions worked at the unwieldy doors and they squealed as they ran along their track. Reading the murderous intent in Quinn's eyes, Davin yelled for help, hoping to attract the notice of anyone nearby. He continued his hue and cry until the doors boomed shut, sealing him away from the outside world. Despite the cool air of the warehouse, Davin had to wipe the sweat from his brow.
"Be quick about it,"
Dales said to Quinn, turning back toward the inner door while the four men closed on Davin. Words were useless. Davin stowed his unnecessary glasses in his coat pocket and pulled out the two saber-toothed daggers he had tucked away in his belt, twirling them with an instinctive flourish he hadn't practiced. The ruffian's advance stalled.
Dales?
Quinn exclaimed, halting the behemoth's progress toward the door. Davin took advantage of the distraction and leapt forward, slicing Quinn's knife arm. He dropped his weapon with a yelp and instinctively backed away, staunching the blood with his other hand. Davin sensed, rather than heard, a man behind him, and mule kicked hard. A boot heel to the groin collapsed his foe. Davin turned to face the other two, testing their resolve by feinting forward. Both flinched back. Davin picked the one holding a knife and charged. The liquor in his target's veins certainly slowed his reactions, and the defense came too slowly. The saber-toothed dagger cut across the sweat-soaked shirt, leaving a gash across his victim's chest. The man roared in pain and stumbled back into the loading doors. Behind Davin, the one he had kicked struggled to regain his feet while the only uninjured one held back, waiting for support.
I can't let them work together.
As long as they did not gang up on him, Davin knew he stood a chance. With a quick turn and step, he raised and crossed his knives, bringing them down in a vicious stroke and cutting an X into the chest of the man who had just risen. He dropped again as the fourth man finally took a chance, barreling full force at Davin with a shout of determination. Davin spun gracefully out of the way and stabbed him in the lower back on the way by. The man screamed and arched backwards, dropping to the floor hard, red blooming on his shirt while he writhed. Quinn, having recovered from the shock of his wound, retrieved his knife and flung it at Davin with every ounce of force his arm could muster. The weapon hissed through the air. Without thinking, Davin batted the knife out of its trajectory with the dagger in his left hand, sending the weapon harmlessly into the stacks of seed. Clarking should have dulled his natural athleticism, but he was more alive and aware than he could ever remember. The warehouse hands now injured and cowed, Davin faced Dales, the mammoth man, who regarded him with curiosity and even a hint of respect. Dales's abyssal eyes seemed like water on a dark lake, deep, cold, and dangerous. Davin backed away slowly as Dales strode forward out of the shadows, but rather than attack, he took a detour. With an expressionless face, Dales brought up a heavy boot and crushed the head of the man Davin had kicked and slashed. The awful crunch sent a shock up Davin's spine.
What is he doing?
With similar unfeeling brutality, Dales crushed the spine of the other fallen man on the floor. Quinn and the other worker huddled next to the loading doors, faces white with terror. Dales's eyes fell on Davin.
So what are you, then?
He asked, voice having lost its usual harsh edge and low-class diction. He sounded almost civilized.
A Queen's man.
Aren't we all?
Davin replied, not quite grasping his meaning. Dales grinned and thundered forward, his teeth clenched. With speed not natural for one of such bulk, Dales aimed a fist for Davin's head. Davin needed all of his newfound prowess just to slip out of the way in time. The punch hit the warehouse doors. The impact broke the board completely in half and sent a shudder reverberating through the building. Davin swung his knife toward Dales's exposed ribs, but the brute used his offhand to knock the thrust away. Even such a simple movement possessed the power to send Davin skidding to his left, fighting to remain standing. He regained a stable stance, finding Quinn and his companion slinking away into the back of the warehouse. Dales followed Davin's gaze and turned, pulling his two pistols from his belt. With brutal precision, he gunned them both down with precisely aimed shots to the head. Davin pitched one of his daggers at his enemy's exposed back, landing it in the man's meaty shoulder. Dales flinched, but did not cry out. After discarding his spent one-shot pistols, he reached over with his opposite hand and pulled the knife out.
A fine little blade, Mr. Harper, he said, flinging it aside and away from Davin.
A watery stain began to run down Dales's back as he turned to face his prey. Faced void of emotion, Dales tore at him, massive footfalls shaking the ground. Davin, wide-eyed and knife at the ready, awaited the charge, crouched and ready to spring. If the caravan master took him to the ground, the advantage would irrevocably be the larger man's. He couldn't let him get his arms around him either. Dales leapt for his midsection, hand reaching out to snare him. With nowhere else to go, Davin jumped straight up, bringing his knees up to his chest. Dales reacted by raising his hands at the last moment, catching the tip of Davin's boots and sending him tumbling forward through the air. Dales landed hard on the ground, dust billowing into the lantern light. Davin surprised himself by completing the flip and landing on his feet perfectly balanced. The shock of his own good fortune nearly cost him his life, as Dales immediately pushed back with his arms and clamped his legs shut. Davin tried to jump out of the way, but one foot got caught in the vise. Pain erupted up his leg, and he fell hard onto his backside, stabbing out at a meaty leg with the fury of a wounded animal. The knife sunk deep into Dale's calf, and the vise released. Both men rolled away from each other and struggled to their feet. Chests heaving with exertion, they regarded one another. To Davin's surprise, his knife in his hand was wet, but not bloody. Dale's appeared to have sustained no injury, standing on the wounded leg as if nothing had happened. Davin winced as his bruised ankle forced him to hobble as they circled one another.
"Hello there!"
someone yelled from outside the loading door. A man's face peeked through the hole Dale's fist had created.
"The watch is coming!"
"Tell them to hurry," Davin returned. "These men are trying to kill me."
Dale's grunted and made his way to the loading doors, keeping his eyes on Davin. Davin had no thought for attack. He would let the city watch deal with Dale's, who, with a single arm, yanked open a loading door and slipped outside. Davin retrieved his other dagger and limped after him cautiously. The man who had called for the watch had sense enough to stay out of the way as Dale's mounted the lead wagon and with a swat of the reins pulled away into the night.
"I thank you,"
Davin said to the white-faced man, now gawking at the carnage inside the warehouse. Noticing the man's fearful gaze at the daggers, Davin sheathed them both.
"Now for a look inside the crates."
He limped back to the driverless wagons, horses nervously stamping at the cobblestones as he circled around the back. Running men approached from the street and Davin turned to face them. The city watch gathered in the light of the warehouse lanterns.
"Hold it there, mister,"
the first said, levelling his pistol at Davin's chest. His ash-grey uniform had one stripe, a young deputy. Davin held up his hands in a gesture of innocence.
"The man you want has just fled, officer," Davin explained. "His companions are dead inside. Send men to search for a wagon driven by a large man named Dales. It carries the same kind of cargo as these here."
Four more of the watch approached warily.
"We'll get your story, mister. Keep those arms up."
"But he's getting away."
"I'll send more men when I'm sure of what's going on,"
the officer said, surveying the bodies in the warehouse.
"Your handiwork, eh? You've got a long evening ahead of you, Mr.
Harper. David Harper. At your service."